Boom. Hold on, I gotta. No. Okay, cool. I had to mute my YouTube thing. My YouTube, like my web browser opened. I'm like, oh crap, I can hear myself talking. Welcome to the Toddcast.
Hello. Welcome.
Oh man. So it's just another Thursday, which is kind of cool. So it's weirdly probably the most low-key Thursday we've had in a long time. Yeah. Not that that's a bad thing. But
we can talk more comics and
yeah,
TV shows and stuff.
Take our time a little more.
Yeah,
because I feel like
the first four episodes of Falcon, like we really haven't had the first three coming into this week haven't really been able to talk about them because we've had somebody on every week. So we just kind of like blew through it, but that's okay because when we get to Falcon later, this episode was crazy.
It was. All right. So, cool. All right. Some NDC event reminders, I guess. So trying to think what goes first. First weekend of May, I guess, is the next thing, right? I haven't figured out a title for it because normally is Free Comic Book Day, as we all know. Yeah. So it's Comic Book Day. Just take the free part out.
Which is coming later, right? It's coming like August. September.
It's the second, I believe it's the second weekend of August this year. Okay. So in that placeholder, we're just going to do a half off dollar sale that day. So dollar books, half price for Saturday of May. If it was Cinco de Mayo, it would be even more fun, but it's not. If it was May 4th, it would be cool, but it's not. But it's like, think like the first.
Yeah.
May the first be with you. Then later in that month, we have the Three Rivers Comic Con Lite, May 22nd and 23rd.
I get so many people coming in talking about it that are excited about it. So I can't wait.
Yeah, it definitely exploded to something I didn't think it was going to, but I'm happy that people are excited about it. We put most of the guest list up. We're not going out of our way to bring anybody crazy in, but we are bringing people. Like we have a couple local creators that are coming, like George Broderick Jr. just signed on. He's a great guy. He's worked for Innovation. We have a ton of cosplay guys coming. If I didn't mention that any of the other times. So we have two separate Star Trek groups. One is the one I belong in that's out of Greensburg. The other one's the local Pittsburgh one. Then we have the 501st. And then we have Three Rivers Cosplay. And we also have the Steel City Ghostbusters making their return to Three Rivers Comic Con for the first time in a while. And they're bringing a giant inflatable Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm really debating trying to figure out a way to get them just up on top of the store, to be honest.
I know it can be done because there's a restaurant named Angelo's in town here where I live. And they actually made CNN and Life magazine.
Oh, I remember that.
Because they had like the big Stay Puft, and then they had like something with tentacles, like a squid that was coming out the windows.
Yeah.
And now that like blew up so much that like it's their thing now that they do. They're literally like right down the street from me. So
that's awesome.
It can be done. It would look really awesome up on top.
I will talk to the guy who owns said Stay Puft and see what I can do, but I can't promise anything. It'd still be pretty wicked awesome to see that thing up above the store, though.
Yeah,
and I'll be honest, it might be just closer to the store because of electric to keep it inflated. But anyway, it's going to be a fun time. We have a ton of local creators. We have a bunch of comic dealers, nerd crafters, toy dealers. Too Groovy is setting up. If you guys missed Too Groovy, that's going to be a good time for them to come and hang out. And I'm pretty excited to just have it go. I think this is the coolest thing for me because it is the least amount of stress for a con that I've had to do in a long time.
Yeah. I hope two of these craft people come. One of them, they always make like Pokemon, like keychains and coasters out of actual cards. And I like getting their stuff. And then there was another girl that does like pixel art.
She's coming.
That's cool.
Kelsey. Yeah. Kelsey the Qua. Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be a good time, man. Like, I'm just super excited to see everybody again and just hang out. Masks on and hang out and just kind of chill. It's going to be a good time. I kind of just miss people.
Yeah, me too.
So,
and you got your first shot. Right?
I did. My second one is scheduled for May 4th. And it was funny. Cause we're in the room with a bunch of other people at a Rite Aid. Right. And, I go get my shot and I hate needles. So I'm kind of like just trying to keep my mind off the fact that I'm getting a shot.
Yeah.
And, the doctor, pharmacist, whoever, nurse, I don't know what their actual title was. Whoever was administering it was talking and she's like, well, you got to come back on May 4th and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, May 4th. That's easy to remember. And a guy across me is like, why is it so easy? Why do you say that? And I was like, it's Star Wars Day. And he was like, what? And I was like, May the 4th be with you. And he was like, oh, I get it. And everybody in the room just kind of chuckled and it was a good time. We all had a good laugh. So I really enjoyed it. It was fun. But no side effects, just so you guys know. A little bit of a sore arm, like near the injection site, I guess.
Yeah.
That was it. Nothing bad. I had Pfizer. It's good times.
I got the one shot, the Johnson & Johnson, and then like 3 hours later, they're like, hey, by the way, this one sucks really bad. And I'm like, but honestly, like this tail, like I have a tail now and it doesn't,
you know, it's nice. I think it would be a cool thing to have a tail, but
it helps me with my balance.
Right.
So
you can kind of like sit on it. It's like a chair everywhere. Right?
Yeah.
Yep. Like a kangaroo does, right?
Yeah.
So. But anyway, come to the con. It's going to be a good time. At least just to come and check out other stuff. We're also looking for a couple volunteers to help us kind of direct traffic during setup. So if you're interested in that, please let us know. You can go to the website and fill out the application form. If you want to set up as a vendor, we are out of space provided under the tent, but you can bring your own tent and table. You can fill out that on the website as well. And something cool. So we're going to have a Loki trailer on loop in the store provided to us by Disney Plus.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait.
That weekend only, you'll be able to come to the store and watch a Loki trailer sent to us. From Disney Plus,
it's a new trailer. I'm guessing.
I would assume so, but that because that's going to be like a couple weeks before it airs, so probably.
Yeah, I've been looking at the logo for a week now because Tom Hiddleston, that's his name, right? How do you say it? He's like, oh, the logo actually reveals some secrets to the show. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to look and see if I can find anything. But also I call BS because Paul Bettany told us that there was this amazing thing, cameo, that he was waiting to work with. And it was just himself. Right. So I think these guys know that we're all in there watching this. And they're just trolling us now. And it's Loki. So who else should troll you but Loki?
Ryan out at the Mills and I were talking about this. And if you look at the logos from each one, or the letters in each one, the letters are from different story arcs that were written that featured Loki.
That was where I was going with it. Like, you know, Lady Loki.
That was one of the stories. Loki, Kid Loki, Vote Loki. And then there's another one that's Time Travel Loki that Walt Simonson did. So those are the four four that coincide with that Ryan and I have deciphered, and I trust Ryan because he pretty much looks like Thor, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, when people go, who do I ask for? I go, you go in the store, ask for Ryan. He's the guy that looks like Thor, big blonde beard, kind of bigger dude.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay.
Well, and that makes sense too, because along with the setup of Young Avengers that they've been doing, Team Loki, not in the original Young Avengers, but in that second volume that had America Chavez mm-hmm. in it, he was on that team. And that was also not, I don't like it as much as I like the original 12, but it's still a really good run. Right. So,
agreed. Yeah. Agreed. So, but yeah, that'll be on loop in the store. We also That's cool. have, I don't remember what publisher it is, but a publisher is sending me basically a pallet worth of free graphic novels for everybody. So everybody still gets a free graphic novel this year.
Oh, cool.
You may just have to go into the store to get it. That's all.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. And I'm
100% okay with that. But those will be showing up, just so you know, Tim, they'll be showing up at your store in the early part of May. So just keep them in the back for me. Okay. And then, as always, every year we have our million comic sale where we open our basement, the upstairs, yes. the old store, and the VFW all for $1 a piece. There's going to be restocks in all of those. So not 100% because obviously we can't just replace 500,000 books. But there will be some stuff put back in, filtered in. So if you're curious about that, because I know everyone usually is, check that out. And then check it out. If you want to do the early bird so that you don't have to deal with a whole bunch of extra people, you can do that. I know the first day is the 13th of May, I believe, and it's almost sold out already because we only do five people per day.
Yeah, one of our regulars, I think, was telling me he signed up for that first day. So, yeah, it's a good time.
Also, we found out that I'm pretty sure that is the same weekend as a different convention that happens to be in Pittsburgh. So if you were going to go to that said thing on Saturday, you cannot make it to the million comic sale. So early bird special works out for you, sir.
Yeah, absolutely.
So definitely go check that out. And then we also have our 35th anniversary coming up this year. Details will be on that. For what we normally do is the customer appreciation sale in June. I'm working out details on that, but 35 years, it's crazy.
That's nuts.
I had a conversation with Todd a couple days ago, and Todd, who owns NDC, owns Three Rivers Comic Con. And I think I've convinced him to come on the Todd cast for like the second time ever that it's ever been on. And I basically told him, I'm like, we will do a 35th anniversary special. You can basically talk about the history of the company. You can tell stories, whatever you want. And then he said that. So he pretty much agreed that would be okay. And then we started talking about how PulpCon is in Cranberry one of those weekends. So if we do it the Thursday of that show, some of his vendor buddies may be in town. In which case. You know, by then, like we'll be fully vaccinated so we can all be in one room, and we may just be at Todd's house streaming it from there and having them just come in and talk about these crazy stories from the bar in his kitchen, the bar in his living room or something. You know? It would just be funny. So we'll see how that goes, because I'm sure those guys would love to tell stories. I also had the idea of getting just some of his vendor buddies that he knows to come in and talk stories about him. I'm sure I've heard a lot of them, and they are very funny. So there's a couple guys I may poke, if we decide to do it just virtually. It will be a good time to just hear some funny stories. It's basically gonna be like a roast of our boss. As a possibility. So, so I think it'll be fun. That's pretty much that. So now I guess we can talk about comics, right?
Let's elevate this conversation.
What?
I'm in my old person's chair, and it goes up and down.
Nice.
And up. Sometimes I just pretend like I'm a robot. Like I'll just be like,
Just for the people listening on Spotify, they're all going to be like, what the fuck?
They probably can't even hear it because it's so soft. Can you hear it?
A little bit.
Okay.
So. Okay. So, comics. Do you want to go first this week? I will let you do
that. Yeah, let's do it. What was the first one I gave you? Was Batman, right?
Yes.
It was,
Detective.
Yeah, Detective. This is a six-parter, Tom Taylor, Andy Kubert, I think.
Andy or is it Adam? Kubert.
Yeah, Andy, or it's one of the two.
It's a Kubert.
So this was cool. I'm glad that they're doing it just in a six-parter and not trying to keep this going. It starts out with a shot of Bruce Wayne. And I think, did I send you that one?
Hold on, I'm trying to get there. Hold on.
It took me a second because it's like, is this Bruce Wayne? Like, there's a guy at a computer. And, well, I'll just keep setting it up while you're looking for it. But there's a guy at a computer. And you see, like, the dinosaur and the penny and the Joker card and stuff behind him. And I'm like, it's Batman's cave, but it doesn't look like Bruce Wayne. He's got, like, this
found
deer
it.
Head. Yeah, he's got, like, this kind of, like, jar head kind of look like. I don't know. This did not look like Bruce Wayne to me, so it threw me off.
He's very Punishery looking, like,
right,
like he looks more like what you would think Bane would look like without the mask on.
Yeah, right? so this is him. He's looking at there's something that happened over in London. There was a plane that was attacked, and everybody on board died except for one person, which was the Knight, which is Knight and Squire from the UK,
right,
which is that UK Batman. And so he's like, you know what, there's too many ghosts in this house, I need to leave, and I'm leaving forever. And I was like, whoa, he's gonna leave the mansion forever, which was kind of a big thing because he doesn't have much left after the Joker took all of his money. So right. I'm surprised that he's just like, I'm gonna leave this home behind. But I also think it's interesting, it'll be cool to see how he develops in just a short 6-issue arc, or if this is stuff that'll pay off and continue in the regular Batman. This is when he first shows up, and I wanted a screenshot of this because eat your heart out, Rob Liefeld. We've got pouches around the belt and then
pouches on the jacket.
On the jacket. Oh man, the jacket's in the way. I can't get to the belt pouch. Oh, that's I have the jacket pouch.
As soon as you said that, I looked at the pouches and went, is that just like, oops, I fucked up and drew the outer belt around the back outside of the jacket? Or like,
I don't know. But he's got, my hope is that that left side, the pouches are on the belt on the inside, and then he has a separate set of pouches on the outside.
Just but a right ton of pouches. Right,
but there's just pouches everywhere. But
okay,
it's cool. He had the goggle look and stuff. This is him investigating this crime scene.
Oh, pouches on both sides.
Oh, yeah, it is. So he comes in contact with Squire, who is waiting for him, and they come in contact with this ghost, and it's called Ghost Gentleman is his name,
uh-huh,
which I have never heard of him before. And he's there because he's fighting he's there to take in the fear of all these souls that died on this spot. Mm. And Batman's like, don't turn around. Don't worry, I got this. And he has this glove on that he got from Constantine, and he punches this ghost in the face. And when he meets up with Squire later, she's like, hey, you know, like, did you impress with Knight? He's like, do you impress Squire? And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then he's like, Batman smiles. He's like, okay, I punched a ghost. and she's like, yeah, there it is. There it is. There's Batman.
Yeah. So that's kind of how that's one of the reasons I love Knight and Squire. Like, or I liked Squire when she was Knight when she was Squire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now she has her own squire. It was an interesting book. There was a lot of setup for detective work to go on. So I'm interested in it because I'm excited to see Batman come back into this detective role. Mm-hmm. Out of the events of Joker War, which was, you know, just chaos. So it's a lot of setup. So it's really good. If you want to know more about the Ghost Gentleman, you should check it out. But it was fun, and it's only a 6-parter. So, you know.
And actually, it was your question did get answered. It was Andy Kubrick. You actually had the page. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Good job. So, Mike Bury says, "Hey guys, I hear you like pouches, so I put pouches on your pouches." Don't forget chains and smoke are cool, kids. Chains and smoke.
So, chains and smoke.
Right. I love that video. Like it's what like Rob Liefeld, Todd McFarlane, and Stan Lee, and like, he's just drawing, and it's like, oh god.
So, yeah.
All right, my first book is Dark Hawk, Heart of the Hawk.
Ooh, I'm interested to hear what you have to say because I almost picked this up and I didn't yet. So I'm interested to hear.
So I'm a fairly big Dark Hawk fan because he's, you know, one of those like D-list dudes that I love so much. So it's three separate stories. The first one's by Danny Figueroth and Mike Manley. The second one's Dan Abnett and Andrea DeVito. And the third one is Kyle Higgins and Juanan Ramirez. So you have like Danny Figueroth, who basically wrote the original Dark Hawk series for a long time. You have Dan Abnett, who did all of the second rebirth of him during like War of Kings. And then you have Kyle Higgins, who's going to be working on the new book that comes out in like 2 months, I think. Maybe less than that.
So this is going to spin out into a new Dark Hawk book.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
And it's very good. Like the Danny Figueroth stuff reminds me a lot of old school Dark Hawk. The art is very, it's very throwback to that style from when that was a thing. The middle story felt, I mean, you were like, yep, that's Dan Abnett, like after like reading the first panel. And it even it in that one takes place post War of Kings. And it's a kind of it's almost like a Star Wars scene in the cantina, but he ends up fighting a brood because the brood always know who they like, they have the hive mind. And as soon as a brood sees him, it's like, oh no, it's the raptor, like blah blah blah, and it goes nuts.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. The art was fantastic for that middle one. It really took me back to the War of Kings era, which if you have not read War of Kings, you should. It's like probably one of my, I don't know, top 20. It's in my top 20 stories.
That's the one with Vulcan, right?
It's where Vulcan and Black Bolt ripped a hole in the universe, and we ended up getting the Cancerverse. Also that came out of there was the Galactus train, which was a giant space train with the zombie head of Galactus on it. It was epic. But it's also the thing that kind of killed Rich Rider for a long time because he got stuck in there with Darkhawk. And then the third one is Darkhawk kind of writing off his story, like, or at least kind of like writing off the story of Chris Powell. And he's like, the data songs, you know, not my song anymore. And the crystal goes off into space. And then it's like, not the end is what it says. Instead of to be continued, it just says not the end. And I really enjoyed that. I think it's going to be cool to see what goes on with that. I really enjoyed like how it just touched enough on each one. It was like getting like a highlights reel of story. And just to see where things went.
That's one of the things that I think Marvel's doing well right now. A lot of people are like, oh, if they didn't put out so many books right now, but they're not just putting out like junk book. They're you know, usually it'd be, okay, we're going to focus on these characters and then later these. Now they're just starting to say, we have all these characters. Let's just start putting stuff out with them. I mean, we're getting the Squadron Supreme, you know, coming up in this Heroes Reborn. So they're using their full library of characters, and maybe some of them are in ongoings and some are in minis, but you know, that's what I like that they're doing. So,
right. I agree. I think it's kind of cool to see some of those teams and characters come back. And I think the springboard for that was the X-Men launch, because you had Marauders and Excalibur for the first time in whole, like, God knows how long it was Marauders. It was like, what, 15 years, probably 20, probably. Excalibur, probably 10. X-Factor is probably at least five since we had like the last Peter David one. X-Force has been since the Remender stuff. So it was cool to see those lines coming back, which, by the way, I'm caught up on X-Factor and it's really excellent. So that was kind of the thing. I really like that they're bringing those types of things back. I don't really know what team I still really want to see. Besides,
well, like, they're doing Force, something
because that would be hilarious.
They're doing a really cool thing with X-Men. I know they have this like gala that's coming up. It's like the Hellfire Gala. And they're going to meet up with different leaders in the world, and then they're going to show off the new X-Men team. And this is going to be
That's awesome.
This is like, hey, thanks for coming. Let's talk. Let's party. And then here's this new team that represents the whole island and all of Krakoa that is here to be champions for you and for Earth. So they're going to, I think that's a pretty unique and cool way, but yeah, they're doing a lot of cool stuff. So
cool. Yeah. I'm really, really excited. I saw there was a release on who the last person to make that team was on CBR today. And I'm sad because that person is kind of been part of X Factor. So I'm sad, but there is a really but the thing that made me go, what the hell, is there's a picture like in the background where you see Strong Guy like, and I'm just like, shouldn't you be ruling hell right now? Like, aren't you still, aren't you still ruling hell? Like, what is going on here?
No, he's alive. Everybody's alive.
Well, he wasn't dead though. Like, he was just ruling hell. Like, he beat up Mephisto and became the new Mephisto.
Well, and then there was a thing with Ghost Rider out of that Damnation thing with Doctor Strange.
Right.
And then Ghost Rider became the King of Hell.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So that's probably why. But they even did a thing where you could go on Marvel's website and vote for who you wanted to be on the team. And I had a hard time because there was a lot of good names, and I saw Banshee, and I'm like, oh man, Banshee, like, I really want to pick Banshee. But then I saw Marrow, and I'm like,
that'd be kind of cool too.
I only wanted to see her because Banshee's normal. So I wanted to see how somebody like her would accept being in this place where everybody is a mutant and they're all together now. And how she would handle it. That's like the only reason I voted for her. But like, if I was going to pick just based off of favorites, I would have picked Banshee. So,
I guess they could do a new Morlocks book. They haven't done a Morlocks book.
That would be really cool.
All right. Moving on. Your second book is Black Cat, sir.
Black Cat.
Black
Another really cool Cat. Cover. So this is setting up, I guess, some really cool heists and some magic stuff. I'll tell you why I think that there's going to be some magic stuff. The first page is a flashback with her and the Fox, her mentor, at Coney Island. And I saw the text at the top that said Coney Island, and it said then. And I think I sent you a screenshot of it. And it looks like Doctor Strange's font that he used at one time, and like the same font from maybe like the Darkhold.
That
Yeah, and I was like, oh, that's a weird font to use for this book. Is there going to be magic involved? And there is.
Did you circle this, or did they do that?
I circled it because okay. I wanted to point out the font.
Okay, okay. Because you know, I was point, like, that's really yeah. awkward to have that. They're like,
yeah, no, I did it because it's definitely a weird font. So it feels like they're using that text to set up something,
right?
Like to just kind of hint that this is the direction. But
like this,
Fox, yeah, Fox. You know, he lets her know that he's dying. And she's like, what? And it's kind of a lead into the whole heist that they're doing. You know, he's always been like open with her, but has his own secret thing that he's kind of manipulating her towards. Uh-huh. And he was like a father figure. So she kind of, she never noticed that he was doing that till it was too late. And she was involved in whatever was going on. But they want to steal some mystical energies so he can become immortal. And it's from the Thieves Guild of like Manhattan, which I didn't even know was a thing.
Right.
So they go down into this tunnel. They're down underneath New York. There's this big scene, which is really cool, that kind of looks like National Treasure, where they find like the treasure at the end.
It does very much so look like National Treasure.
Yeah. And he uses this staff with this energy to open up this gateway to this person. And then some crazy conversations happen along with some stolen goods changing hands in order to stay alive. But it looks like whatever they're bringing in is going to be probably more trouble than what they can handle. He wants to be immortal, and because he doesn't like the idea of dying. He even talks about that he doesn't steal things because he wants the money. He likes it because he likes the thrill and the challenge of I can do this and nobody else can. So not being able to do that anymore because he's going to grow too old or die doesn't really appeal to him. So it's all very much Black Cat's book, but this story is very much driven by him, as this is his journey that he wants to make, and it's kind of getting her tangled up in it. So I'm interested to see where it goes, because there are a lot of rumors that the future story is going to be her trying to steal the Infinity Gauntlet, and I'm wondering if that's tying into this somehow, since it looks like they're going, this is a lot more magical than what I would expect from a Black Cat book.
Right.
So yeah, I would check it out. It's pretty cool. So
cool.
And a good first issue coming out of King and Black.
King and Black,
because they didn't even really hit on King and Black. They just kind of said, okay, let's go into the story. And I like that they did that, because sometimes an issue after an event,
yeah,
they can kind of slow the story down. So I like that they just went in for it. So
cool. All right, my next book is a new book from Colin Bunn, an Aftershock, called Phantom on the Scan. This book's art is just super, super good. It's super good. I unfortunately do not have screenshots. I can hold some up to the camera, but it's not going to do it justice because it's just so good. It's got like a... So it's Mark Torres... who did the art, but it's got like a Ben Temple Smith style to it. So if you like Ben Temple Smith with like watercolor stuff, almost like an Alex Maleev type style too, like that, like that watercolory. It's very good. So basically it's one guy who can talk to some kind of phantoms slash dead people. And he kind of reaches out to other people who can also do that, and he gets them to meet him in a cafe, and they're like, why'd you bring me here? Like, what's going on? And he's like, well, because we're all the same and there's something coming. And they all start kind of do the whole, like, whoa, you can't, like, we shouldn't do this. Or like, there's nothing wrong with me. I don't know what's going on, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden one dude One of the guys has like kind of a just starts screaming and has a headache, and his head explodes, and this crazy alien looking thing comes crawling out of his neck. And ooh, the Phantom just kind of goes, "That's what's coming for you." And that's how the first issue ends.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. But yeah, here I'll just show you some of the art.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you see what I mean? Like, I really enjoy it.
It definitely has a Maleev, like, from the Bendis, like, Daredevil stuff, yeah, like that style.
Or if you read, or like, I can't remember his name, the guy that did Alias with Bendis.
What's his name? I can't remember either.
It's escaping me. It's been a long day.
Yeah.
So, but
that's cool.
It's still really good though. And I recommend checking that book out, and it's, you know, a good Aftershock book. It's a lot of fun. Aftershock's been pretty solid about putting some cool stuff out.
And Colin Bunn, like, yeah, I feel like he's writing everything right now. Like,
I'm pretty sure all he's doing is drinking whiskey and writing comics
and
right
writing
now.
Yeah,
because like I follow him on Twitter, and it's like it's either like, oh, I just did this, wrote this thing, or it's like a picture of a highball. Like,
yeah,
so it's pretty awesome. Yeah, that's it. Check it out. Like, you know, Aftershock is still a solid indie company for me. So,
and I'll tell you what, I have some stuff that Aftershock brought us, and a couple different layers, Undone by Blood and another title they gave us, their exclusive Aftershock exclusive covers.
It has you guys sent some around to the stores. I saw those kick in today.
Yeah,
Monday.
If the first person that comes in and buys that book, I will give them one of these Aftershock exclusive covers from
at the Waterfront store, though.
At the Waterfront store. Yeah. So come into the Waterfront store, make sure I'm there.
That'd be
awesome.
Buy
that book, and I will get you one of those things. So,
all right. Your last book is Spider-Man, Spider-Shadow.
So when I checked this book in on Tuesday, I was looking at it with Tim, and I was like, I don't understand. Why are they doing this story that's an alternate story with Peter, but he keeps the symbiote? And why don't they just do it as a what if? And then we noticed in the top right-hand corner that it says what if. And I'm like, they've never done what ifs that are like more than one before. And there's a letter at the end from Chip Zdarsky, and he's like, hey, this is a new era of what ifs. And this era is going to be all about more than one book. So they're going to do 4-issue minis in a what if style. So they can expand on it even further. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. Wonder why they never did that before, but I'm glad they're doing it now.
I mean, that really reminds me of like Elseworld minis or Black Label minis.
Yeah. Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. So this was really cool. I mean, it's, Peter is going to keep the suit. So it takes place, I think, around like Uncanny, or not Uncanny, Amazing Spider-Man 258, I think it said. Mm-hmm. So this is, he's very much tortured right now because he's starting to feel all this anger, and the symbiote is obviously enhancing that. And he's just trying to make it through his day. There's one point where Mary Jane scares him, and, you know, he shoves her and she hits her head. A lot of things similar to the original story. He goes to see Reed Richards. Hey, can you tell me about this suit? And Reed's like, yeah, this doesn't look good. Like, you should keep this here with me. I need to look at this. And Johnny's like, yeah, I think he's right. And he's like, shut up, Torch. And he's like, whoa, sorry, man. I didn't mean to like make you mad. And he's like, look, guys, I don't need your help. He's like, I don't need to be your science experiment. So the book is very much setting up his rage for him to keep the suit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited to see where it goes after that. He has a confrontation with the Hobgoblin.
Yeah.
Where he pretty much beats the living crap out of the Hobgoblin. And he's like, look, I'm leaving you alive. Tell your friends. He's like, I could put you in jail, but tell your friends I'm not somebody to mess with anymore.
Wow.
And it gets real dark. And we know Chip Zdarsky can take it there. So I'm excited to see where this goes. There's a couple other things that happen in this book, but I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But the fact that they're just doing this four issues, it's really exciting. Pascal Ferry did the art, and there's some hit or miss. Like, his art usually is pretty good. There's some spots that are kind of weird for me. But he does also have a very weird style too.
Right.
And I couldn't decide if it was the art or if it was the coloring. So if you get this book and you open it up and you look at it, it looks a little weird. I'd say, just judging by the story, at least stick with it. It's only four issues. I if you're a Spider-Man fan, you're going to like it. So
I might pick it up and trade. But it sounds awesome. Like, I'm very curious to see where that goes. Cause like, I like the idea of angsty emo Spider-Man.
Yeah. That's not coming out and doing like,
I don't know. Like, he's not doing the Baron Zemo. Like the.
Yeah. Yeah. They have a t-shirt of that now, by the way.
Already?
Marvel's on top of it. When Agatha All Along happened, they put out a music video, and then Starbucks has on their secret menu an Agatha All Along drink. And then,
really?
Yeah, and then Zemo does the dancing thing, and they put out a one-hour loop, and then the next week there's a t-shirt, and it's just a circle, and his arms are coming out like, because he's doing the dance. And I'm like, done. I need this dancing Zemo shirt.
If they made it in a baseball tee, I would own that. So.
Yeah. You do like baseball tees.
I do.
Now that you say that.
Yeah, I really like baseball tees. Like, if I could swap out all my regular t-shirts for baseball tees, I would 100% every day. Yeah. I don't know why. I just really like them.
I'm like that with hockey jerseys. I'm like lesser known Kevin Smith.
That makes me want to, like, next week, like, wear one of my hockey jerseys just to mess with me.
Do it.
Or my Dropkick Murphys St. Patrick's Day jersey. So
I'll wear a baseball tee.
Nice. All right. Yeah. My last book is Challenge of the Super Sons.
Yes.
Holy crap, was this book amazing. I don't know if you guys have read the Super Sons books, but you should. You should just go back and read all of it, because Tomasi crushes it. And it's just awesome. It starts out with like old Damian and Jonathan playing video games about themselves. And it's like a video game of the Super Sons, like in a Mortal Kombat style. And they're like trying to beat the hell out of each other. And like, their kids come in and are like, why are old people obsessed with video games? We should just read more. And then they go back to like reading a story. And it's kind of cool. Like, it starts out where they're like in school, and Jonathan wants to be on the school paper. And Damian has already solved the thing that he was trying to publish the story about, and he's like, I already sent it to the principal. That dude's gonna be fired by tomorrow. Don't worry about it. And he's just like, damn it. And then they're like, all right, we gotta go on patrol. And John's like, all right, but we gotta do it Metropolis because my mom's making chili tonight. So they run down this alley, and they rip like, and Damian rips open his shirt, and he's like, all right, I'm ready to go, let's do this thing. And he's like, what are you doing? And Jonathan's like unbuttoning it, and he's like, my dad told me if I keep ripping shirts, I have to sew myself.
That's awesome.
So that was interesting. And then they come across, or they end up helping like a lady, a nurse with like a bunch of kids with a bunch of groceries, and take their groceries in, because that's pretty much what you can do in Metropolis, because no one likes to do crazy stuff because of Superman. So then they meet a sorceress type character. And she gives them, what the hell is this called? It's some kind of scroll, the demon scroll, maybe.
Okay.
And it, like, the Damien and Jonathan from there get blasted into the past, and they come back and they're like, smells like 21st century. I would know that anywhere. And they find the demon scroll, and the demon scroll has the Flash's symbol on it. And the scroll works sort of like Death Note, but not in the same way. Like, it's, you open it up and look at it, and it tells you who's going to die and how they're going to die. Right.
Oh,
so in this case, it shows a Flash symbol with a lightning bolt. So they think the Flash is going to get killed by a bolt of lightning. So they're like, man, how are we going to get to Central City that fast? Like, Damien's like, I would be like obliterated. And John's like, hold on, my dad's got a jet. And they're like, he's like, what? Like, why does your dad need a jet?
Yeah.
He's just like, doesn't matter. Star Labs helped him build it. And they like go over, and so they give him a jet, and Damien starts laughing and making fun of him. He's like, he built a super jet. Is he going to build a super car and a super cave next? Ah! So it was just really funny. So they get to Central City, and they need to figure out how to find the Flash. So they call the police department, and they're like, and somebody picks up, and she's like, hey, Barry, somebody's on the phone for you. He's like, just take a message. And he goes, they say it's Gorilla Grodd, and he's about to go ballistic downtown and blah, blah, blah. And he's only going to do it. He's only going to stop if the Flash can stop him. And Barry's like, just tell him to take a message, whatever.
Yeah.
And like, she says something else, and Barry's already gone. Right. So they follow him, and the trick with this is you can't just be like, hey, Flash, you're going to get struck by lightning and die. Cause if you do that, some innocent is just going to be immediately killed. Right.
No.
So they have to basically follow him and, let it happen to try to stop. Right. So they're flying. And Damien just goes, John, hold this, and just kind of follow him. And it's this giant metal rod. He's just like, this is going to hurt. This is going to suck. This is going to suck. Totally gets hit by lightning. And he was like, and Damien kind of swoops down and catches him. And he's just like, that was a direct hit, man. He's like, yeah, just tickled. Actually, no, it really hurt a lot. And they're like, all right, cool. Well, now we can just wait around till the next thing pops up. And they're like, well, buddy, wonder no more. And it shows the Wonder Woman symbol. And that's going to be so you're going to get, so I think, 6 issues of that kind of fun stuff.
So that's what the challenge is for them, is to save whoever's on that list.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is the third volume, too, I think, because the first, it, Tomasi's wrote all 3 of them, I think.
Yeah. There was the regular Super Sons, that was like a, that actually, I think, went 2 volumes, though.
Yeah, and it was him and Jorge Jimenez.
Right.
Started it, which was gorgeous. And then they did, the second volume was like backstories, because at that point, Bendis had made Jonathan Kent like 16 or whatever.
Right.
So they had to do like stories you never heard of.
Right.
Which kind of bummed me out.
Which is what they're doing in this one, too, kind of, but yeah.
But I think the one thing I did like was, it's like, Damien would try to boss Jonathan Kent around, and he'd be like, well, I'm older than you now, so like, what are you going to do about it? So it's like watching two brothers fight. Yeah. You know?
I think that's why I always enjoyed this. And I really thought that, that Tomasi really, him and Gleason both like really hit that exact tone the right way. Cause it was like,
yeah,
sort of buddy cop, but sort of just like brothers just fighting. And I thought they translated that well onto the Superman Lois show with the two actual Kent sons. So I thought that worked out pretty well.
Yeah, because in the show, one has powers and one doesn't.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really funny because the Jonathan on there looks like Damian does in the books, and the Jordan on there looks like how Jonathan does in the books. So it's, you know, it's a little bit of 50-50 there. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
Nice.
So, all right. So we have a little bit of time left. The big thing we need to do yet is, so we need to give away, somebody's going to get a chance to see Christopher Priest live in a video, like in a video panel, right? Yeah. So what we're going to do is you and I are going to talk about Falcon Winter Soldier for a few minutes. So what we want you guys to do is we want you guys to put in a question for us, since there's only three of you currently watching. And whoever has the best question, and we'll answer all three questions, but whoever had the best question gets that free pass. It's a, what, like,
does the
it's
question
like a
have
40
to be about?
It doesn't matter. Okay. I don't care. This is a, we'll answer pretty much anything.
Okay.
How about that?
I'm wearing sweatpants with a dress too. Shirt. So if anybody asks, if that's the question, pick a better one.
I am now also, you know, wearing sweatpants, just not with a dress shirt. I think it's okay. Maybe not the best question, the most fun question. Okay.
There you go.
All right, cool. So you guys put them in the chat and we're going to talk about Falcon Winter Soldier.
And you got to tell me, because I don't have the YouTube up, so I can't see the question. So you got to let me know.
Sure. All right. Actually, the chat's been kind of quiet tonight too. It's mostly been Ron and Mike.
Yeah.
So, but all right. So Falcon Winter Soldier. I absolutely love this episode.
Yeah.
To me, this episode really, really, really nailed the John Walker, like, persona. It really nailed, like, everything that everything that you pretty much wanted to see in the Winter Soldier movie, like where that was going to lead to at some point, this is where it is. And I'm really excited about it. Like, I just think it's going to be awesome.
And it's more, I think the thing that I like is when you first watch, like, the first episode or two, you couldn't get WandaVision out of your head and all of the misdirection. This show doesn't really have that. This show's like, you kind of thought they did because just the show you just came off of, but it's very straightforward. The things that you think are going to happen are kind of happening the way you think John Walker is going to act. And I'm okay with that, because I think that fits what's going on in this show. Man, is he a dick?
Yep. I love it.
I mean, he always was in the comics too, but this guy nailed it. I mean, yeah,
like they really pushed it to like the first, they really did the phases of John Walker very well. Like, the first phase of him is like, I really kind of want to be Captain America, but I don't want to be Steve Rogers. And I know I'm not Steve Rogers.
How can I be my captain?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
So then the second phase of him is, how do I, like, I am Captain America, and I really just, like, you guys need to deal with it. I am Captain America.
Accept me.
Accept me. And then it's, like, then it just gets very dark and twisty until Steve comes back and he becomes U.S. agent in the comics. And then eventually during Siege, he gets his arms and legs ripped off, and it's all kinds of crazy. But since Sentry doesn't exist yet, unless we're going to see him in the next two episodes, which I highly doubt. But it would be really awesome to watch him totally kick his ass and rip his legs and arms off.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to see that. But I am curious to see how they're going to wrap this up. They have two episodes to do it. We know that it is confirmed that the young lady who becomes the next Falcon is confirmed for this. We have seen pieces of trailer where it shows Sam throwing the shield around at trees. So I'm very curious to see where this goes.
I think this next episode, I wouldn't be surprised if this next episode wraps up John Walker's story. We saw what happened at the end. Slams the shield down. Bucky and Falcon are right there, you know, inside that building. So they're right there. There's going to be a fight between these guys. They showed it in the trailer. They're like, you don't want to do this. And I loved in the trailer when he says that, because Winter Soldier just kind of looks over at Sam and he's like, yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. We want to fight you. So I think that's what's going to happen. He's going to get they're going to get the shield back in this next episode. There was some crazy rumors online. Marvel is working on developing a Wolverine TV show, and that he may make some kind of an appearance in this show at some point. My guess would be if he would show up, since we haven't heard anything about an actor, it would probably just be like a stinger at the end in Madripoor or something, and you just see like a hand come down with like three claws, and then
you see three claws ripped into a building.
Yeah,
like, that'd be kind of cool. I mean, did you notice that I don't know if it was this episode or the one before, but like where Flag Smasher and her buddy are like sitting, they're like standing by the motorcycles, and in the background there's a gate, and that gate has a big X on it. And I was like,
I paused it.
Ooh.
I paused it, and I sent, if Carl's watching, Carl, everybody else has pointed out that X, because I sent it to him. He's like, yeah, but I mean, of all the things that could mean something, that's like the least that could mean something. I was like, I don't care. It's X-Men. I'm taking it for X-Men. It's red and blue. I even found the image with the same color.
Yep.
Red and blue.
I'm also wondering if they're going to spin this slightly and make it more like, instead of it being derived as a super soldier serum, it's the mutant growth hormone.
Yeah.
Or that the super soldier serum gave birth to the mutant growth hormone, and we're going to see that be something that triggers all the mutants to exist. Or maybe it'll be even weirder, and at the end we're just going to see Terrigen Mist float across the globe and just activate everybody, and you're going to be like, oh, okay. So
I'm hoping that at least by the end of the series that we get more context about Isaiah Bradley.
Yeah, me too.
Because that was a really fun, like, little tease, just having him in there just a little bit. So I really want to know more about that and how they're going to set him up in the MCU and what his history was.
Or I want confirmation that that's Elijah.
Yeah.
That would be, I'd be okay with that. Like,
it was a good episode. I was like, I rewound that last part where he just smashed that guy with the shield. And I think that I have a panel. If I can find it, I'll post it in the comments. That's exactly that from the comics, but it wasn't, a Flag Smasher guy. It was, I can't remember who it was, but anyways, it was right from a Captain America comic with him getting ready to slam the shield down on somebody. And just seeing it like stained with blood, we've seen Captain America fight in World War II. We've seen him fight in Civil War, all this stuff. And you've never seen blood on that shield.
Correct.
So to see it just soaked and dripping off was like a really powerful image. So
it shows you what kind of a Captain America John Walker is. And that's I think that was a very,
and the stain on the name of Captain America.
Yeah. I think it was a very key moment in that story. So,
yeah.
But I know, I believe they did say that Batroc is coming back for one of the next episodes. So, so excited.
That guy, he has taken the long road into acting. He's like, I'm going to do Winter Soldier, wait about 8 years, appear in a TV show, maybe twice.
Right.
I think this is going to, I'm going to take off from here.
Jeez. So we have yet to have a question kick into the live chat.
Ooh.
Oh no. No one cares about Christopher Priest. What? Come on.
Here's my question. What's wrong with you guys?
Right? So, I mean, I guess we can kind of BS for about another 5 minutes and see, but...
When is the Christopher Priest thing?
I believe it is the 8th of May, but let me double check.
So we have, if nobody says anything, we have another opportunity next week.
Yes.
To get some...
Right. If no one wants to do that today, which would be very interesting. May 6th, actually. May 6th. And it is normally a $30 pass. So it's at it's May 6th at 6 p.m. and it's over Zoom. And that's it, man. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
The dude did like the run of Black Panther. Like,
yeah,
come on. And he's actually currently writing US Agent. Oh, here we go. Ron. Rongamus says, what are the weirdest comic book characters and which one should fight each other?
Oh man. So if you remember in Wizard magazine, Ron, I don't know if you ever, Ron, go find all the old Wizard magazines in the dollar book. They used to do a thing called Mort of the Month. And it was like the lamest character that they could find that month. And I know like Kite Man had been on there. There was like Rainbow Quilt Man.
Yeah.
Which he's in Suicide Squad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would
Man love Eater Lady versus Arm Fall Off Boy is what he used.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I would love to see Kite Man versus the Rainbow Quilt guy. I would love to see those two fight.
That would be awesome.
That would be. And they just did a really cool story like a year and a half ago on Tom King's run, War of Joke and Riddles. And they made Kite Man like kind of the hero of that whole story. And it's just like, really? Kite That's Man? Awesome. But it was a pretty cool story. So, yeah.
I got to think about this for a second. There are some pretty lame dudes. Yeah. Like Forbushman, but I think didn't he just die in something? Like
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Like Forbushman's awful. There's some just really like Arm Fall Off Boy is like a terrible Legion of Superheroes guy.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Spider-Man's got a lot of bad like D list because most of Spider-Man's besides like Green Goblin and stuff are like C list villains. Shocker.
Yeah.
Rhino. But he has some pretty bad, you know, like Kangaroo Man. You know, like, what's your power? I'm taller than you and I'm good on my feet.
Stilts.
Yeah.
So. Oh, man. This is a really good question. Damn. It's Manny or Lady, he said.
Okay.
Lad, not Lady. Man Eater Lad. Okay.
Okay.
Holy crap. Oh man. Oh, what the hell was that dude? I have to look it up one second.
While you're thinking, I'm gonna tell you somebody that a lot of people like that I have always thought was a lame character, and it's Solomon Grundy.
I love Solomon Grundy. I don't know what you're talking about.
I always thought he was lame. I'm like, okay, so you're the Gray Hulk, but instead of just saying like Hulk smash, you just keep repeating this rhyme all the time. I don't Fair. Know why I never liked him that much. But it was weird. Cause I'm like the only one. Everybody that's a DC fan, they love Solomon Grundy. So,
Ooh, yeah, he's a good one. I'm probably gonna go with the dog wielder from Six Pack. Oh man, probably the vampire cow. Do you know what I'm talking about? from Marvel, like the Marvel vampire cow, like, because that would be interesting, because it'd be like, unless there's like a bunch of dogs on that farm, dog wielder is not gonna do very well. And vampire cow is just gonna, like, you know, win. So
hey, you don't know that about dog wielder, because everybody thought that Aquaman would be terrible if he wasn't in the ocean, and you know, that's maybe true. Dog wielder, fair, so. Maybe he has the power to bring dogs to him no matter where he is.
Ron said, what's the rabbit guy from DC, and who fights Big Bertha, a bad DC character? And then he said, yes, vampire cow. So rock and roll vampire cow.
I don't know Big Bertha, but I know when my mom was pregnant, we used to do those Estes rockets.
Yeah.
And we got one for her that was called Big Bertha, and she was very mad.
Big Bertha's from the Great Lakes Avengers. She's like a supermodel, okay. And her superpower is that she just gets really fat. And then
yeah, I remember not now. Again. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I was trying to get not use the Great Lakes Avengers because I love them so much, even though they say it, they're so terrible. Like Doorman, yeah. Like what? Flatman. I'm flat. I'm a flat.
Yeah.
Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
There's so many good ones. I love it. The rabbit guy from DC. There was a white rabbit that's a villain that's a female that I remember.
Well, there's the one from, I know Marvel has a white rabbit.
Right. They're both pretty Spider-Man. Terrible characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember a rabbit guy, though.
I couldn't believe they made a toy just recently in the last year or so of White Rabbit. I'm like, of all the Spider-Man characters you could make a toy of, you picked White Rabbit. They always do that in Marvel Legends, though. They always pick like one character and it'll be like the piece you want the most, like the head for the Build-A-Figure, and you gotta buy that crappy character.
He said Ambush Bug versus Big Bertha. I like Ambush Bug. He's not that terrible. Like, no, come Ambush, on. I also like Ambush Big Bertha, so bad. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's definitely some pretty terrible characters out there. I love terrible characters. They're my favorite. Ron's the only one that posted a question. So I'm going to say I think Ron wins it.
And Ron's always on it. So
he's probably the most commenter of most avid commenter of any of our shows.
Yeah.
He's most engaging, I guess.
Mike's probably watching while eating, and Carl's probably watching the hockey game.
We're down to two viewing now, so
yeah,
it's one of the two. Rodney Rabbit from Earth 26 in DC. He is the Superman of that Earth. Yes. There's also Captain Carrot too, which is also terrible. And then there's Nobody Hoppy. Better. There's Hoppy, who's the Shazam Rabbit.
It's funny we named all these characters, and then if I think like Spider-Ham, like he should probably be on that list, but for some reason he's cool.
Yeah.
So.
Right. I just also find it funny that he was a spider that got bitten by a radioactive pig. So
yeah. Yeah. It's such a good, yeah.
So well, congratulations, Ron.
Ron.
Yay. So cool. Well, we this was kind of a nice, relaxing, not super crazy guest filled week. You know, I guess thanks everybody for watching so far. I did reach out to the creators of Intergalactic Deathmatch. I'm waiting for their response to get them on the show. So that'll be soon. And then, as we said, we'll have Todd on at some point soon, which will also be just hilarious.
And what was the book that the Aftershock book that you read?
Phantom on the Scan.
So pick up that book at the waterfront. First person to pick it up is going to get that Aftershock Undone by Blood cover, exclusive cover. And then don't forget Doug Wagner's Kickstarter is going on. Declan Shalvey for That Time Before Time. He just started a Kickstarter for a process edition of that book. Mm-hmm. And then I reached out to Robert Hack to see if he'd want to come on one week. He has a Kickstarter for a book.
Yep.
So yeah, so check those guys out. Really cool guys. And yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks everybody for watching and listening, and hope you enjoyed it. And thank you for all of your support as always. Remember to share us and like us and do all of the things so that more people watch it and check it out. So
click that bell in the bottom corner. It's probably right there. Don't they do that? Like, they'll be like, oh, it's right there. We don't have a graphics person though.
Somewhere here, somewhere, maybe. Okay. Maybe it's over here. I don't know. So anyway, thanks a lot, guys. And I will see everybody next week.
Peace.